America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We heard Jerry play a couple of clips from Joe Douglas. That was the first time I had heard them. I had read them this morning, and we've been around Joe. We've also been around Joe in much better times. We've interviewed him at training camp where he's been happy and excited. We had him at Boomer and Geo Live, the first one, where he was all excited about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who was not officially a Jet at that point, but he said that he would be here. So hearing him the way I heard him in those clips, he sounded sad to me. I mean, he really sounded
How would you sound going through what they've gone through thus far? And I'm sure he had a very close relationship with Rob Saleh. I can't believe that he would have advocated the firing of him. I don't know if he did or he didn't. I don't believe he did. I think this is just something that the rambunctious owner did. And, you know, at the time, I thought maybe this would fire the team up and, you know, give them a little bit of a jump, but it didn't do that. It didn't have the initial effect that I thought it was going to have. As a matter of fact, they ended up losing three in a row.
Yeah, and so I said multiple times before I heard Joe Douglas speak that Woody Johnson cut off Joe Douglas's balls in front of everybody, and he did it twice. One, firing the coach when Joe Douglas didn't want that to happen, and two, making that Hassan Reddick deal happen when Joe Douglas had spent months and months and months holding the line and saying, we're not going to cave to this guy, and then Woody Johns was like, no, we are. We're going to bring him in, and we're going to figure this thing out.
Well, I think Drew Rosenhaus might have had something to do with that as well. You know, as much as Drew Rosenhaus has a Scott Boras kind of persona, Drew Rosenhaus is a lot like Donald Trump. Let's make a deal. Mm-hmm. I want to make a deal. That's they're deal makers. And most owners, believe it or not, don't mind dealing with Drew Rosenhaus because he wants to get his client in and playing. And, you know, it's not like Drew has a lot of guys that have always held out, but he usually gets them their money and usually comes to the player and says, can we talk about and discuss the actual situation here? And they come to a deal.
Yeah.
They're deal makers. It's not great for everybody, but they get the deal done. That's who Drew Rosenhaus is. And yeah, I agree with you. I hear a little bit of sadness in Joe's voice too, but I also think that he's got to be guarded. You know, he's got to be that way because they fired the coach in the middle of the season. It seems like it happened 10 weeks ago. It happened 3 weeks ago.
I know. And because there's been just so much going on, not only in sports, but also in the world. And it does seem like 3 years ago at this point. So, I mean, it sounds like to me that this is a guy who is, it knows that he's not going to be here next year.
Well, they got to turn it around. If they turn it around, they'll all be here. If they somehow get into the playoffs and win a playoff game, then I think they all come back.
So they got to win a playoff game now too?
Well, I would say, like, if they can, and again, I don't know if they will or they won't. To me, like I told you yesterday, I think they had to win that game in New England to get on a run, but some people feel like 9 wins is going to be able to get you in. The question is, are the teams in front of them going to lose while they are winning? That's really what it comes down to. And for the Jets, they went from being the 16th ranked team in the AFC now to the 10th ranked team in a little less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know that there has to be some scoreboard watching with all the wild cards that are out there and teams being mediocre. But, I mean, the Jets really just generally, if you win more than you lose and they do that in the second half of the season, then they'll find themselves in a good situation because there's just not a lot of great teams out there that are in the middle in the AFC. So they just got to focus on winning these games.
How many teams have 2 losses? Like, what, 7 of them or something? Some crazy
2
number.
2 wins, I think,
or
right?
2 wins. I mean, some crazy number. And it's all jumbled up. I mean, there are some significantly good teams in some of these conferences, in each of these conferences. But the wild cards are wild for a reason. They are wide open, and there are three of them in each conference. And if you are a Jet player or coach, if you are Joe Douglas, even though you know got this thing hanging over your head with Rob Saleh being fired, you got to go to work every single day thinking that you can make it. Somehow you can make it. You can't give in to the media. You can't give in to the general perception about your team. You can't give in to any of that stuff. You got to be above all of that, and somehow you got to still believe you can make it.
Yeah, I don't know if you know the answer to this or not, but so when Woody Johnson was over as the ambassador and during the 4 years of Donald Trump the first time, he wasn't supposed to.
Technically, you're not allowed to have any say in the business or anything if you have that particular job. Right. And I think that's more because of the government side of things. I don't necessarily know that that's an NFL rule.
All right, so
maybe it is. I don't know.
Now, do we believe that was the case? Do we believe that Christopher Johnson was running the organization alone?
I do.
Okay, all right.
I wouldn't say that he wouldn't call his brother and ask him.
Well, that's a big deal, though. I mean,
a phone call, I guess so. I think, but the decision making all fell on the lap of Christopher Johnson. Yes,
because that's a problem if he goes back over there, Woody. Now, Woody is not the greatest owner in the world. We understand that, but I mean, Christopher's tenure here was rough. I mean, and they hired Adam Gase. He had some weird press conferences. He's a really, really nice guy, Christopher Johnson. He's just almost too nice, loves the players too much. And I think that's going to be an issue if they go into another offseason where they're going to have to hire a coach and a general manager, and Christopher Johnson's the one running it. Now, you could say, how much worse could it get with Woody? Okay, well, I will present to you Adam Gase. Adam Gase! That was the Christopher Johnson hire. And not only that, Adam Gase and Greg Williams. Remember that?
Yeah.
We're going to give you Greg Williams. I mean, that was a disaster. So if he's making the decisions.
But you also have to remember, you know, there are people in the league office, and I don't know who these people are, but I do know that they do exist, that are promoting different players, different coaches, I should say, different front office people. There's the Rooney Rule. There's all the different things that you have to follow before you hire somebody. And there's a list of candidates. So we could sit here and talk about Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick and Ben Johnson and whoever else. But until you go through the entire list that the NFL is going to give to these teams that are going to be looking for new coaches or possibly new general managers, you know, that's where it all is generated from. And then you start calling around and you interview people and you ask about qualifications and whether or not you would recommend them. And, you know, that's kind of what Christopher Johnson tried to do the first time.
Well, it was the famous Peyton Manning phone call. That's what got Adam Gase hired, was Christopher Johnson took a call from Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning said Adam Gase is the guy, he needs to be the coach, and he was the coach. So that concerns me. I mean, either one of those guys making a decision concerns me, but I actually think that Woody Johnson is the lesser of the two evils when it comes to that, if they're going to be hiring more people. And it sucks for Joe Douglas. It really does, because he had worked so hard and built this whole thing up, and then, you know, of course, the injury last year, and then it was him and Rob Saleh together, and then the owner comes in and kicks him out, Rob Saleh, and it's like, now you got Joe Douglas, essentially, unless this thing turns completely around, being a lame duck general manager. It sucks.
And just to be clear, it's not an NFL rule that if Woody Johnson goes and becomes the, you know, ambassador to Great Britain, that, you know, he can't say something. It's not an NFL rule. I think it's a government rule.
Okay.
You know, what I'm saying, I think you got to, like, when you get into these positions, I'm thinking that you have to divorce yourself from everything you do in your private life, because now you become a public servant.
Yeah, I just wonder, like, is that a hard and fast rule? Or
not in the NFL, it's not.
Are they sitting there like, hey?
No, it'd be illegal. I would think it's a legal government thing.
Okay. So, I mean, maybe there is some consultation there. But where this team goes from now to the end of the regular season, I mean, this was supposed to be a team that was adding to the trophy case. Chances are that's not going to happen. So what is the acceptable minimum for Woody and Christopher Johnson?
Well, they go to the playoffs.
Just go, though?
I think they go to the playoffs and they get themselves out of this. Then I think they can give Jeff Ulbrich maybe a 3-year deal and keep him.
So just to make it. So they make the playoffs And
I'm speculating. I don't know.
But
I don't have any.
I'm just.
I got to see how they're playing. I got to see what it looks like. I got to see who they run into. Like if they run into the Baltimore Ravens, who have the number two seed, or the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they play them again, they have a number two seed. You know, okay, let's see what you do. Let's see. Like when you think about it, Kansas City most likely going to be number one seed. Don't see them losing the number one seed. And then you look at the rest of the teams. The Jets could beat any one of those teams.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, there's a lot of mediocrity. I think the most difficult situation for them would probably be having to go to Buffalo again.
Yeah, I mean, this week, right, exactly. And depending on what Josh Allen you get. But this week is going to, I feel like it's been a really long time since we have seen them play, obviously, because it was a Thursday night. This week is going to tell us a lot.
And I would tell you that if the Jets end up looking for a coach at the end of the year or GM candidate, Troy Vincent from the NFL office is the one that's going to be pushing the list towards them.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Say, here are these candidates. We believe these candidates are ready to go. We believe these candidates should be interviewed, which is a good thing because I think that does help the owners find people that maybe they would have never even thought about before.
Sort of like a Corn Ferry.
It's kind of, well, yeah, I guess you could say that. It's kind of like how Tomlin got hired by the Steelers, and look how that turned out.
Yeah, obviously very, very well. Let's go to Sean, who's calling from Miller Place. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, man, what's up?
Not much. So, I mean, I just, you know, talking about Chris Johnson potentially coming back in, I kind of liken him to, you know, Fredo Corleone, if the Jets were the Corleone crime family. You know, those were some of the, you know, all of the Jets' embarrassing years. Those 4 years when he was at the helm were pretty bad. I mean, coaching where football is going, those were some pretty embarrassing days. And I just think with the uncertainty surrounding the roster next year, if Woody is to, you know, get an ambassadorship somewhere overseas, we could be in for some even darker days ahead of us.
Yeah, I mean, and I feel the same way about it. Now, Woody Johnson.
Just so you know, though, I mean, Christopher and Woody were together when they went out there to go see Aaron Rodgers. He's involved. He's involved very much so with Jaime over there at the Jets, their president, with Joe Douglas, with Rob Saul when Rob Saul was here. You know, Woody's involved in all of that stuff. I mean, Christopher is. I mean, it's not like he's sitting off to the side not doing anything. I mean, he's part of the co-ownership.
But it's more talking about when he had the reins during the
question.
Time
who's
that Woody
making,
was over.
Who's making worse decisions? The Jets or the Giants over the last 10 years?
It's like which porta potty smells better. Like, I don't know, man. It's horrendous. They're both horrendous.
It hasn't worked out for either one of them.
And no, it's but right. They're absolutely, and we've talked plenty about the hires that John Mara has had, plenty about him. And the reason why the discussion today is more about the Jets is because Joe Douglas spoke. So, yeah, I mean, but that's whataboutism right there. That's what you just did. You just give a little dose, a little sprinkle of whataboutism. Well, what about the Giants?
Right. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, like, I know we're Jet fans worry about the Jets, Giant fans worry about the Giants, but I'm just saying we have to sit here and worry about both of them.
I know.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Well, we may argue right now because Malachi Courtley met the media today. And I did not like what Malachi said. But I want to play it for Tiki. Tiki has purposely not listened to this yet because I wanted to hear this honestly. I wanted him to hear it for the first time. And honestly, tell me what he thinks. Cut number one. Malachi Corley is asked, obviously, about dropping the football on that touchdown run, which should have been a touchdown run, right before the end zone. And the question was very tough to pick up. I surmised it was about coaching and making sure this doesn't happen again. And here is what Malachi Corley said in terms of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just scored 200-plus touchdowns in my career, you know, and never once dropped the ball in the end zone, you know. So there's not too many coaching points to take away from that other than just, you know, hold another 6 inches, you know.
Why are you laughing?
I can't. I'm going to laugh at that.
Oh, you're going to laugh at that?
He's just talking really fast like a rookie.
Okay.
First of all, 200 touchdowns?
He didn't run for 200 touchdowns. Was he?
I mean, going back to, like, Pop Warner?
He'd have to count, like, playing in his schoolyard.
Rookies are dumb.
I think that proves it.
Is that Mad Tiki?
Cut number two.
I mean, that was just funny to me.
Okay.
I mean, he's right, though, at the end. Oh. The only thing to take away is the coaching point. Hold the ball to the end zone.
Yeah.
Really, the only thing to take away is what I said on Monday, which is, dude, that's your first touchdown. Keep the damn ball.
How do you let this not define you, Malachi? Because, you know, you don't want this to define you.
It's not a defining moment for me because imagine if I broke three tackles, you know, juke the guy, and then I dropped the ball when you're in front of the end zone. Still, you still did that same play, you know what I mean? But holding the ball one more yard is not a coaching point for anything. And if they gave me the ball again, you know, I'd do the same thing over and over.
Is he freaking kidding me?
Hmm.
If I broke three tackles and I did that, you didn't break three tackles and do that. You made up a fake story that's not even, like, real. What are you talking about?
I'm confused by that one, but the answer is I just got to go play great football. That's the answer. That's how it doesn't define you.
Were you embarrassed, Malachi? Because Jet fans were.
I had a lot.
It's not a defining moment for me.
That's not it. Sorry. Hold on one more time. Malachi. Were you embarrassed? Because I was embarrassed.
No, not at all. You know, you just take things with a grain of salt. You don't play the game for a long time. You've seen a lot more or less embarrassing things happen on the field. So for me, it was just a learning experience overall. You know, still extremely excited to run across that end zone line and be able to jet around the field and do all that type of stuff. So it was fun overall.
Come on.
I mean, they won so he can, like, smile and say these things. But you just erase it by being great. Now, if he never turns out to be a great player or do anything great, it's what people will remember about him.
Yeah,
and so it's unfortunate, but that is what it is. It's just the reality of sport. You get moments to define yourself, and whether they're good or bad moments, they're going to define you, and you have to replace it with something else. So until he replaces it with something else that is memorable in a very positive way for Jet fans, this is what people are going to think about when they think about him.
Absolutely.
Now, again, they're lucky that they won this game so that it's not a "this cost us a game" type of thing. Because trust me, I've had those, right? Oh, that fumble cost us the game. But I was lucky enough to play long enough to replace it with a lot of great moments.
To me, fumbling is far different than...
Yeah, but not in critical moments, not in critical situations, and it loses you a game. That's a big deal.
No, I'm not saying it's not a big deal, and I'm not saying you didn't get crushed on sports talk radio or have to answer that. Like, it is a big deal, right? But it's a physical mistake. Right? Is that what a fumble is?
Yeah.
This guy literally dropped the ball before he got to the end zone because he was celebrating.
Right. It's a mechanical mistake.
You never had a fumble like that, bro.
It's a mechanical mistake. It's not really a physical.
Okay,
it's
I apologize. Mechanics.
It's just not doing things the right way. This is a mental just F up.
Isn't that far worse?
Of course it is.
Oh, okay.
Because it's entirely preventable by you.
Yeah.
Right?
What concerns me, and tell me I'm wrong here, is that he didn't sound like he gets it. He sounded like, it happened.
Well, I hate rookies.
I think part of that, though, is his coaches, like, saying, it's all good. Don't let it happen again. Right? They're not killing him about this.
How would you have handled this? I know you would have never done this, too, by the way, but let's just say you did.
Handle it with him as a player?
No. Like, you are the one that did what he did. Like, it's going to be your first rushing touchdown.
Been ridiculously self-deprecating.
Okay.
That was the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. I'm an idiot.
I would have loved that as a fan.
Right. I'm an idiot. It won't happen again. Trust me. Plus, it's my first touchdown. I want to keep it. So I'm holding on to it. You can't take that thing away from me ever.
Yeah.
Right. You got to acknowledge what happened. If you don't, then people are like, what's wrong with you, dude?
He kind of didn't acknowledge it, though.
Yeah. Well, he did. He just dismissed it.
So are you okay with that? You okay with his answers?
Because they won the game, yes.
Does that really make it okay?
100%.
But it's not like he was the reason they won the game.
It doesn't matter. They didn't lose the game because of him.
They almost did.
True, but they didn't lose the game because of him.
So you're in the locker room. You got no issue with the way he handled that.
Because you won the game? No.
Okay. I'm trying to see if this makes me feel better, because usually Tiki makes me feel better. But honestly, I'm still kind of pissed off at him.
I mean, you should be, but it didn't cost the game.
I know, but it could have, and it was embarrassing.
But it didn't.
He had nothing to do with them then not having the game be cost by him dropping a football before the goal line.
Right, but they won the game. It's a team sport. Somebody else probably did something really stupid as well.
Yeah.
We just didn't see it.
Fair. But that one, I don't know, man.
Rookies suck.
I need that Tiki right now to make me feel better. I need to just go off on.
No, you just want your pound of salt. That's all.
I want the guy to be great. He's the Yak King. Like, I want Malachi Corley to be awesome. I want to buy a Malachi Corley jersey for Spence in 3 years. Like, that's my youngest son. Like, obviously, I want him to be great. It was just so confounding to see that. And while they won, and you're right, like, who cares, they won, it still bothers me. And then to hear him answer those questions that way,
right,
which
you do have to accept it. It's so easy just to say, I was an idiot.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I needed.
Yes. Okay, that's where I was. I've sat, Tiki, got to be honest with you, a year and a half, that's the most stunned I've been at a response to a take that you've had.
What's that?
You know what? They won the game, so you just whatever. Like, to me, I think you want him. It's so boneheaded just to step up there and say, thank you that my teammates picked me up. That cannot happen, right, and it will not happen again.
Exactly. And if you do that, people will forget about it.
But it didn't sound like he was really taking ownership.
No, he wasn't. But it didn't cost him the game.
He keeps going back to that.
I'm just telling you, it didn't cost him. Now, if he does it again or something else boneheaded, then that really becomes your M.O., it becomes what you're known for. It becomes what people now expect of you. And that's not a good thing.
Like starts building the Tay Banks resume of quitting.
Right, exactly. Yes. No, exactly.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, if the Giants had won that game against the Eagles, we probably wouldn't have talked much about it. But like, you know what? You can't quit on that play, but it didn't hurt them. They won the game. And it wouldn't linger with
you. Well, you know what's funny? You're right. Like, if the Jets had lost that game, I think this conversation about Corley would have dominated the radio station a lot more than it did. It turned out to be a moment in the game, and yes, it bothers me a little bit now, but it would have been 50 times worse if they lost.
Yes, but it's the nature of the team aspect of football, right? You depend on every player.
Yeah.
And the guys, even though he didn't say it, as Sean eloquently would have said it, the guys picked him up.
They did, and they need to win on Sunday against Arizona.
This is not Gerrit Cole related, and me and Lou Gower just had an argument about whether or not to break the glass, but we have Jets news.
Oh!
Let's hear it.
So it ties in.
Okay.
Evan, Colts Jets is no longer Sunday Night Football in 2 weeks.
Oh, sons of bitches!
Are you serious?
No!
The NFL thinks so little of the Jets going on a run, they have taken away, probably because NBC saw enough of the Colts last night, they are taking away Colts Jets and putting it as a 1 p.m. Eastern game in Week 11. Instead, the Bengals and Chargers go to Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, this is selfishly
something. The Bengals at 3 and...
Yep, and the Chargers boring as all heck under Harbaugh.
But they have a great defense.
Yeah, so selfishly, this affects me greatly. I was planning on taking my oldest son, Jet, to this Sunday night game. I was very excited. Had it all planned in the calendar. Full day of football.
Wait, who are they playing?
Who's playing?
The Jets.
The Colts.
Oh, that means I'll get it.
I guess that's a win. That kind of sucks. Actually, maybe it...
Is it a CBS game? Where did it go to?
Yeah, where did it go?
If Chargers-Bengals was CBS, then Colts-Jets-CBS will get that back. And that has not been firmed up here on Twitter.
So the Jets, and I know for some Jet fans this is great news. Like for Beningo, he loves this that they're not primetime. But I have good news. For the Roberts household, I'm going to do something else on Sunday night. Because there's a backup plan. Do you know what the backup plan is, Tommy Lou Gower?
The Nets still in the league.
No, well, sort of. The backup plan is to go to Madison Square Garden Sunday night.
Is it wrestling?
Because their opponent, no, the Knicks. The New York Knicks will be taking on Cam Thomas and the Brooklyn Nets. So that's my pivot. I'm going from Jets, Colts to Nets.
That's actually what you would prefer to do anyways.
No, it would not be what
I
prefer
to do. You could do the double. Is that Jet game at home?
That is true. I could do the double.
And by the way, it is CBS, so we'll see you on TV, Tiki.
You know what?
Right? Seriously.
Tiki, I think.
Because I got him in 10. I got him next week.
And the Giants are on the bye that Sunday, right?
Yes. Yes. Because they're in. Yeah, they're taking the bye after Germany.
Tiki Barber, you're a freaking genius. I'm going to pull off the first ever
Jets, Colts, Nets, Knicks, doubleheader.
Let's go, Knicks.
Let's go! All right, thanks for breaking the glass for that meaningless piece of news.
If we get it, I'll have you and your son come up to the booth.
Oh, that'd be special. That'd be very special. Thank you, Tiki. Now I got to convince my wife. Can I be gone all day on a Sunday to watch a crappy football team and then an even crappier basketball
team? All day? Yeah, honey, like all day. Like we're leaving for tailgating, going to go to the Jets game, and then we're going back into the city and going to Brooklyn, and then we'll be home at like midnight.
Going to Manhattan makes it a little bit easier. It's at the Garden.
That's right, it's at the Garden.
But nevertheless, that is literally a 14-hour day. Because
got to handle it?
I think. Oh, he can definitely handle it. I don't know if Mama can handle it. She's going to be like, wait a second. You're leaving on a Sunday? Anyhow, so Jets, Colts getting flexed to Sunday at 1 o'clock. That's good for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Whatever for me. Do you agree with my opinion on the Jets that at the trade deadline, I would do nothing?
Yeah, I mean, you still don't know what the team is yet or how they're going to fully fit and operate together. I mean, it's only been, when did that Devontae Adams trade? October 15th, so that was less than a month ago, so three weeks ago. Like, you're not even fully cooked yet, baked into what you're going to be. Aaron Rodgers finding back his rhythm with Devontae Adams, and it felt like it happened a little bit last week. Garrett Wilson, who for some reason people think is having an off season. By the way, he's the second leading receiver in the NFL right now.
Yeah, I think the reason we feel he has an off season is because of the way it started, but he's been on a rampage.
He's been on a rampage.
There's no question.
Well, I think it's also tied into the Jets losing like five games in a row. So you don't pay attention to the individual, you know, successes of some of these players.
It also feels like his numbers, which are very good, have kind of snuck up on us over the last few weeks.
No, they technically have.
Yeah.
But they're not, and Breece is finally getting right. I mean, they're not even the team that we don't know what they are yet. So you can't break it up trying to create something new when you're already still creating something new.
I agree. I think if they would have lost on Thursday, this discussion would be very different.
Yeah,
I think
you start to sell off.
Yeah, I think the math would just not be in your favor. But, you know, analyzing the AFC over the weekend, watching some of the results, and that Colt game is a huge game. That's a game they have to win. You talk about games you got to win, especially because of the tiebreaker scenarios. Like, that's a really important win. They are in a spot where if they run the table, they make the playoffs. If they lose one game, depending on where that loss comes from, they still probably make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they can lose two games. I don't know. I think that's very, very tricky. And you'd need a lot of mediocrity in the AFC.
Yeah.
But I think this is really their only option. Not to buy, not to sell, just to kind of, continue to bake.
I mean, we don't want to go just like scan through the standings, but are the Chargers for real? I don't know. They have a good defense, but I don't know. Denver feels like they're somewhat fugazi at 5-4.
Agreed.
Right. Indy, who the hell knows what's going on?
Well, the Jets better beat them. That's for damn sure.
I mean, so they face them, but also, who the hell knows what's going on? Who's starting a quarterback? Joe Flacco replaces Anthony Richardson. He looked terrible last week.
Right.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown. And then, you know, Baltimore, and they're fine, but whatever. But what's Cincy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really wide open.
Yeah,
in
AFC. I think that 9-8, based on some of their losses in conference, will be too tough to overcome. They have to go 10-7, which means they got to go 7-1.
Yeah,
and that's a very tough task. It's basically you've got no margin for error. And look at the challenge of Sunday against Arizona. So I fully know that the Jets' playoff hopes could be extinguished very soon, especially if they lose to Arizona and Indianapolis. Then it's really over. But I still think that the right approach going into tomorrow is to stand pat.
The Raiders had it going right with John Gruden. You know what I'm saying? They had it going right. And then somebody decided to, like, torpedo him. I mean, like, he was the guy that was the attitude of the team, and Derek Carr could survive underneath that heavy-handed coaching that John Gruden brought.
Have you seen him lately, by the way, Gruden, and what he's doing?
Yeah, he's doing some Instagram stuff. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah,
I mean, I think it's mostly TikTok, but it ends up on Instagram Reels. Like, I got to give him credit because he was a guy that obviously, you know, caught up with these emails and different things, got trashed, and some of the things that were written in there, obviously, you can't defend. But he decided, like, screw it. Like, I'm just going to lean in on my crazy personality.
Yeah.
And go on social media and try to reinvent myself that way and do the things that people like about me. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a couple of years that this might work to the point where he'd get another shot. I mean, if you're a team, and I don't know how this works. I don't know if the NFL is going to be like, man, you can't hire him. You think that would happen if they were like looking into Gruden at the NFL? Be like, man, we don't want to deal with this. We can't do it. Would they blackball someone like him from behind the scenes to not be able to PR?
I think that's part of the fight that's going on behind the scenes right now, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he had the Raiders going in the right direction. He was a Raider coach. He was the Raider attitude. And he brought the best out in Derek Carr.
See, think about this. All right, I'm pitching this right now.
Okay.
And I don't know if anybody else has said this. I feel like I'm right on the cusp of something special here. All right, ready? So we have talked about how the Jets are going to have a new head coach and how Woody Johnson has essentially put himself in a position where he's not going to get the good candidate, like the top coordinator or the top coach, like a Vrabel or a Belichick, who were head coaches before and don't have a job now. They're not going to go to the Jets for a number of reasons. One, people saw what he did to Rob Saleh, and whether we think it was the right move or not, that's going to reverberate throughout the coaching community. And two, you've got Bill Belichick on a weekly basis trashing Woody Johnson and just completely making a mockery of the organization.
I think
owner.
That also goes all the way back to the Eric Mangini stuff.
Absolutely. Yes. So people now are saying, all right, so what coach can you get if we can't get those coaches? Let's go back and get Rex Ryan off of TV and put him as the Jets head coach and try to go back to your old girlfriend. No, the guy you get is John Gruden. Because he'd take the job.
Yes, he would.
He wouldn't care about the Woody Johnson stuff.
Yeah.
He'd have a chip on his shoulder like you wouldn't believe. I mean, the guy's a Super Bowl winning head coach. That's the guy you got to get. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd have to look back at these emails and really dive into them and figure out exactly what the hell's going
on. What was in those emails, Al? Do you remember?
I actually don't. I'm sure they were ridiculous. I don't recall what they were.
There was probably someone with a female referee, right?
How about this? It's being, I don't know if this is true or not. Raiders may consider John Gruden for offensive coordinator role.
Perfect. Get him back in there. Then he's on the market as a head coach again.
They're also saying John Gruden will become the New Orleans Saints head coach to replace Dennis Allen next year.
No. Jets got to jump in on that. Jets have to. That's the guy for the Jets. Got to be him. We got to find some of those. I think they're clean. We got to find some of those John Gruden TikToks where he just goes.
Yeah, I know. I've seen a bunch of them. Actually.
No, I know, but I want to play some if we can find the audio. We'll look.
I mean, the question is how you know defamatory and debilitating are those emails? I saw a couple of those things and I was just I stopped reading them. I was like, I don't want to read this crap anymore.
Is there a difference between giving players second chances with issues like hit and runs and domestic violence and stuff like that, or Deshaun Watson and 10 million creepy massage suits against him and these emails with John Gruden because he's a head coach?
Yeah, I mean, let's you know, that's whataboutism, right? I mean, like,
so. No, it's not. It's because it's the same. It's the league and second chances. It's not whataboutism. It's someone who
but
has.
If somebody did something else wrong. And you're giving them a second chance, and this guy did something wrong. Why aren't you giving him a second chance?
But it's the same. It's not. Is it whataboutism or is it hypocrisy? Like, I don't know. So like if a player's got those emails, he's coming back and playing if he's worth a hill of crap. You know it, and I know it. You've seen enough of these guys. Hit and runs and beating up girlfriends and guns in airports and whatever the hell else. For God's sakes. I mean, so? I just want to know. Is he looked at differently because it's a head coach and not a player?
All right.
That's my question.
Here's what is being written about John Gruden and what happened to him. Okay. Yeah. The former Raiders head coach resigned back in 2021 due to the Wall Street Journal reporting on homophobic, racist, and sexist emails he had sent in the past. It's now been a few years since his resignation, and the Raiders owner Mark Davis has been on record saying he never wanted Gruden to leave in the first place. So there you have it.
Okay.
It makes me, reading that, it makes me think that there is a very good chance that somehow this maniac is going to be back in the NFL. And I'm sure that, if the owner of the Raiders is saying, I didn't want him to leave in the first place, you know, I don't know why he left then.
Maybe he's back. No, but he left because the NFL put pressure on Mark Davis, I'm sure. As, without a doubt, that's what it was.
I can make a couple phone calls later on and find out exactly how deep this goes and how derogatory all these things were. You know, I mean, I didn't see any of it. Did you see any of the...
The things I remember were about that whole scandal. I remember the Dan Snyder and the cheerleaders thing.
Right.
And I remember, I'm pretty sure he was ripping a female referee in one of those emails.
He actually went 22-31, and he never led the Raiders to the playoffs after he came out of the TV booth. You know, but I felt like they were competitive. You know what I mean?
Well, that was the Mike Mayock, John Gruden.
Yes.
Combination there, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm just, my point is that the Jets are going to have a tough time finding anybody worth their salt to take that job. And this might be your answer. I mean, don't you need someone like that?
I mean, Rex was a little bit controversial when they hired him.
He certainly was, but I wouldn't go back to that. Right? Yeah, like I don't.
No, I'm not saying go back to that. I'm just saying when they did hire Rex,
this would probably be more controversial than that. I would think this would be after him being out of the league and essentially kicked out of the league.
So I'm just trying to think, like, how many guys are on a football team right now? 80. Or about 63 or whatever. What is it? Like,
well, it's 53 on the active that can dress and play.
And then 10 taxi squad guys, right? So 73 or 63, plus the entire coaching staff, which is predominantly men, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that the rest of the NFL and their locker rooms aren't sexist, misogynistic, you know, idiotic at times?
I mean, is that what about?
I mean, the whole NFL is probably like this.
Well, this is what I'm trying to tell you, and you throw what about is it?
You know, I don't even know about, you know, the thing about it is, and I agree with Patrick Mahomes because I've said this a lot way back when in the day. You know, if everybody were like an NFL locker room, I think everybody would get along.
Yeah.
Because everybody's busting everybody's chops, and it could be along racial lines, it could be along sexual lines, it could be along any sort of like. Anything that people think that there is a weakness about you, they're going after.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. You know, you're either have a neck. You know, you remember when Caliendo went in there, the comedian went in there and he was playing John Gruden in front of the Raiders players.
Yeah.
And he looked over at Glennon, the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
And what stuck out about Glennon?
It was his neck.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah. Glennon, you got a long neck. We like it. Something like that. You know, yeah. I mean, like, everybody just takes ripping shots at everybody else.
Yeah, of course.
And that's the beauty of the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, I do think when it's in print and you get wrapped up with some of the Dan Snyder stuff, it became a problem for him. But, I mean, the point is well taken that not everybody is a choir boy.
And I think John Gruden probably helped so many people along the way that you don't even realize all the different things he's done as a coach. And
I'm sure he's got a lot of allies in the NFL. Yeah.
I'm sure he does, too.
Right. Oh, that's the guy for the Jets. Wouldn't that shake some crap up?
I'll tell you, the people in New Orleans wouldn't want him. I mean, look, let's face it. because of Bountygate, Sean Payton got suspended for a year. Mm-hmm. He got another job. And that was, you know, paying guys to go after guys to get hurt at the hurt guys.
I'm just reading this. Aaron Rodgers, no place in the game for opinions John Gruden expressed in emails.
When was that?
October 12, 2021. Yeah, I mean, well, maybe. Yeah,
I think a lot of guys were probably asked the question about John Gruden and probably would have the same answer.
Yeah, Well, maybe Aaron Rodgers isn't here then. Maybe he's not here. It's just the brand new quarterback and the whole thing.
Now, I need your guys' opinions because to varying degrees, you're all Jet haters. Obviously, Tiki isn't because, as you know, he loves Nate Hackett.
I do love Nate Hackett.
So he can't be a Jet hater, but your opinion, guys, are going to matter big time here.
because a few years ago, if you guys recall, there was a controversy around the New York Jets involving a T-shirt. And if you guys remember that, a Mike White T-shirt, where
yes,
players started wearing Mike Bleepin' White T-shirts. I thought it was cool. I still think to this day it was cool. And many, whether it was revisionist history or in the moment, were critical of, wow, this is a bad look to have a T-shirt made for the backup quarterback when Zach Wilson is there.
Yes.
Disrespectful. That's when I lost it with Robert Saleh. I've heard that from Jet fans. Okay, so there was a T-shirt controversy a few years ago. There is a new T-shirt going around the Jet facilities right now, and I just want to make sure, to quote Tommy, with the no fun police, if this is okay. Because I know, maybe I'm not seeing clear-eyed. I'm a Jet fan. I'm happy. They're coming off a win. But according to Zach Rosenblatt, who does a fine job covering the New York Jets for The Athletic, Jet players are being given Garrett Wilson catch T-shirts. T-shirts have been made about the Garrett Wilson catch from a week ago.
That's weird.
Why is that weird?
Like if I was on that team, and someone gave me a Garrett Wilson catch shirt, would I wear it?
Wouldn't you?
I don't know, man. It's just weird.
Oh, come on, man. Really?
It's just a little, I don't know. It's just weird. Like, from a fan standpoint, you're like, oh, that's the awesomest thing in the world. That's cool. Let's wear these shirts. But when you're a dude and you're a baller and you've been working your whole life to live your dream and you're in the NFL and you're grinding and you got your own stuff going on, your own challenges, your own whatever hill to climb, and then someone gives you the shirt to celebrate you. It's just weird, dude.
What would you do?
I'd take it, but I wouldn't wear it. It's just weird. I know how fans think. Oh, that's the awesomest thing in the world. But
yes.
I don't know, man. No. No.
I think it's
weird. I'm just telling you, it's weird.
I'm glad I brought it up because you, first of all, you know me so well because you're like, yeah, typical fan. You think it's the coolest thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, can I buy the T-shirt? And you're like, nah, dude, that's weird. Do you think guys in the room think that's weird? It's a different generation, so maybe not. I don't know, man. Wow.
It feels like to me, it's like, hey, guys, look, something finally cool happened to us this year. Everybody wear it on a T-shirt.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, I don't know. Something doesn't click right.
When you guys really...
I hear that, it doesn't click right in my head.
I know you're coming from a genuine place. He's coming from a hater place.
I'm not coming from a hater place.
No, no,
I'm coming
no,
from
Sean,
a... If
Sean.
I was in that locker room Sean. And someone gave me a T-shirt of Garrett Wilson, you know, spreading his junk and one hand and a ball over his head. Yeah, bro, look what I got on my chest. I don't think so.
No, I bet you're coming from a genuine place of, I wouldn't wear that. Sean's coming from a, I just hate the Jets place.
No, I'm not.
But you guys are coming across like buzzkills now. Because now I was all excited about it.
I feel like
a dip leap.
No, look, the Jets are 3-6. They do have still an ability to make a run in here. And I'm not saying you can't have fun or anything. It just feels like now's not the time to stop and celebrate that you had a cool play last Thursday. That's all.
Why can't this be their OMG shirt?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
OMG. Jose Iglesias, right? Yes. That's his song. This is Garrett Wilson's catch. This is what turned their season around. This is their rallying cry.
I'm with you. So you got me now.
I still wouldn't wear the shirt.
But it's like team unity, bonding. Devontae Adams has talked about that, changing the culture in the locker room.
I'm all for it. Now,
all for that? Come on, hold on.
I'm all for anything that saves the Jets season.
This is a big time hold on. You want to talk about the most ridiculous comparison ever. Do you know what OMG T-shirts did? They helped publicize a coworker, a colleague's song that was also making money on his side hustle of being a musician.
And by the way, he is a bit player who was on a one-year deal.
Right.
And making probably league minimum.
On a team with
probably wasn't. He's making
no expectations, as everybody's been reminded.
Right.
This isn't making Garrett Wilson his side hustle money and promoting a song.
Don't make me do what I'm about to do. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it.
Do it.
Maybe this team realizes that, hey, Malik Nabers was getting all the hype. We got the real wide receiver in New York. You made me do it. I didn't want to have to do that.
Tommy has really sold his soul to be positive.
I
love it.
But Tommy, why does that even matter?
For the guys in that locker room,
you know
I would think it would.
You know this. Ball don't lie. Go look at the statistics. Go watch the film. Garrett Wilson is better than Malik Nabers.
Thank you, Jake.
Like, no, it doesn't even, like, why you got to show everybody? It doesn't matter.
Because we're in a show me kind of generation. We're in a TikTok, Instagram.
You shouldn't be. These kids shouldn't be. Just go ball.
To me,
And I appreciate the effort. I think it's a great effort.
You better appreciate that. I had to sell Malik Nabers sold down the river. You better appreciate what Positive Tom is doing here.
I do. I want to give you a hug because I also feel bad for you. Boy, did this guy sell his soul. And I respect that.
Right. I almost forget he's a Giants fan.
I forgot already.
He's not allowed to sit with us on draft night now.
Yes. But I think what the Jets are doing, and it's sort of what you're saying, Tommy, and I think it's needed, is they've had a bad year.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a really disappointing year all the way around. And something cool happened on Thursday. Besides winning a game, they had a really cool moment. And I think this is a locker room that's probably been very uptight, stressed out because they feel the pressure, that is finally getting a chance to smile.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think is cool. Now, they got to go win. They got to go beat the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday. They got to go beat the Indianapolis Colts on a game that got flexed out of Sunday night because they're so crappy. But if this is a moment, a brief moment where they can smile and have some fun, I'm all for it because maybe it helps. Maybe this is the thing that they need. So, thank you for your loyalty, Tom.
You're welcome.
Tommy.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.